Film Vault.
Yes,
the Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson, hey. Brian, Bishop. We're your hosts for today's episode. Ooh, big one. Top five Oscar locks. Top five Oscar locks. I don't know about that. Are you Snapchatting?
Snapchatting.
I heard your obsession blossom on the last After Disaster.
You know, I just Snapchatted
a little
bit.
You know what the best part is? You rage, rightfully so, against people who are constantly following trends, constantly hopping to the next thing, hopping to the next trend.
I got to try and
What's hot now? I got to try and stay hip with it.
And here you are. Well, okay, here's the full disclosure on Sex with Emily last week. I was co-hosting with her, as I do, week to week. And she brought up Snapchat, and I railroaded the conversation, as I'm known to do, into how horrible Snapchat is, how stupid it is, how kids are already a throwaway culture, and it's just adding to that. And I was admonished.
Nothing's for keeps.
Her people and her producers heard it, and they said, you got to talk to that Anderson about being negative about Snapchat when we're trying to get the numbers up. So you know what? I've embraced.
Wow.
I got a tutorial from Tyler White last week after the After Disaster.
He's a social media maven.
I retain none of it, and I have no idea. Like last I checked, my pictures only show up for 1 second and I can't change that. I have no idea how to do anything. Anyways, all that aside, we are doing a little top five Oscar locks.
Yeah, the ones you can take to the bank.
Can I tell you that
I do some gambling for the Oscars.
Of course you do. You're a gambling miscreant.
I'm slightly obsessed.
Yeah, I need to get into that.
Actually, I really do.
I'm afraid.
It's really, you know, the most exciting part is when the first odds come out, and then you're like, oh, that's way too low, and you put a bet on it because it's worth $5. You know, the odds are, and then then award season starts to come out, and the odds get lower.
Yeah,
the odds get lower. I locked it in when the odds were long.
Nice, good. Yeah.
I got George Miller as best director at 10 to 1.
He's second
longest odds right now. I hate to do this
and plug other shows, but George Miller, nice little interview with Elvis Mitchell on The Treatment this week.
You can talk about
it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Got to tell you that.
There are, in fact, other shows out there.
Scant little 30-minute interview, nice, with Elvis Mitchell. Smartest man in Hollywood.
I got Alicia Vikander as best actress, best supporting actress
you
back
even
when
seen
she was.
It.
I know, but I knew.
Yeah, can I tell you that? I saw it's a Danish girl.
Yeah.
Until I walked out. I saw 45 minutes of that shit.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, got to go.
I got The Revenant Best Picture. I got Big Short.
Right.
The Big Short.
We're doing.
These are locks, though. This is not speculative. This is not long shots. These are locks. Take it to the bank, everyone.
We'll talk more about the Oscars when we get there. I am excited this year, more than excited that I've been excited in years past, because I can't remember a year where the Best Picture was this up in the air.
It's wide open.
It's really wide open. And
The Revenant
not on
is
my
a
lock.
Slight favorite.
It's not on my locks because no one really is sure where it's going to land.
If the Big Short takes it, it would not be a shock. If Spotlight took it, it would not be a shock.
But I do have five pretty solid locks. They're big, sexy picks, too. I'm not going with, like, you know, sound editing or any of that bullshit.
Right.
So I got you covered for, I'm pretty confident that I'm going to hit all five. I'm going to hit all five.
I'm usually good for about 3.5.
I did my homework this time, Brian, and I looked at trends and I looked at other award shows and what that's meant in the past over the past 10 years and whatnot.
Look at you!
I did some needlessly elaborate footwork here for
you really
the
should
sake
do the gambling next year
of the listeners.
You should do like proper gambling next year.
So I got percentage points of what I got.
Should
all
go to 538.com. 538 does like a statistical analysis.
No, I'm dumb with internet and how things work. So I just looked up other awards that happened this year, like SAGs and AFTRA and
BAFTA.
And the BAFTAs, not so much the BAFTAs, but the Golden Globers there and the Directors Guilds and all this
PGA.
And that. So I got you covered. Let's start off with a little fashion haul.
Confessions. Hey, you know what time it is? Last year I made the mistake. I'll totally cop to it. I made the mistake of the
waking
Vaulties
and
deciding to shoot a film podcast. Yep. The Vaulties are our biggest show of the year. Next week, by the way,
I can't wait. I've already started the research.
Really?
Yeah.
Last year, I made a mistake. I made an error, and decided to do better with being on the Vaulties. Man, maybe not the best place.
Good.
For it.
I like this. It's preemptive smartness. That's rare for you, buddy. No, better with Bean next week.
This week.
No, not
better
this
with
week.
Bean.
I don't have time for this, bud. You know I got to get across town for a screening.
It's not gonna take very
long. Don't have time. Come on, Brian. We'll do it after the Vaulties. We've got to have something to look forward to.
This is as good as it gets.
No.
Yeah.
That's not a good movie. As good as it gets.
We both have a movie to talk about in common, so it's not going to be a very long episode. This
Let's
is one
go.
Of our shorter episodes.
Good, because I got to go.
Frequently asked questions about time travel. We are assigned a film.
Yes. Okay. Here's my. Do you have? Can you give us like who's in it and all that? Because I printed it out.
Yes.
Full disclosure, I had it all printed out. Killed a tree for it. I was going to come in here with all the information, and then I realized on my way home when I was going to pull off to write a little bit at a bar, I didn't have my book. So I actually used the printout of frequently asked questions about time travel, and I wrote like 4 pages.
Where is it?
It's in my car, but I'm afraid I'm going to throw it away if I bring it in.
Oh,
here.
I see. Okay, all right. Frequently
golden
asked
pages,
questions
Brian.
About
dialogue.
Time travel. We'll see. Is a film that was assigned to us by Logan.
Yes.
Producer Logan decided we tied last week
right.
on our gambling, and Logan took the opportunity to assign us both the same film.
Yes.
Frequently asked questions about time
and
travel.
And second time in, I believe, second time in history that this has happened.
Feels like it.
Like. Third or fourth, but like twice in the past month or so.
Nope.
I don't think that's true.
The last time it was.
I can only remember
mystery.
Logan signing me one. Yeah, yeah. Mystery Team.
Mystery
no,
Team.
No, no, no. Last time was the HBO, the stupid Ben Affleck, Matt Damon produced movie.
Oh, shit. You're
oh, that's right.
Right.
You're absolutely right. The fucking Isn't green.
The one I can't even remember the name of.
Neither can we.
What was that? Sprint? No.
The delinquents. It was all about a party and It was very
the social. The social
the leisure
club.
Class.
The leisure,
class.
Leisure yeah, fucking right. class. Logan, you gotta stop.
Oh boy.
If I've learned anything, we should change the rules.
FAQ about time travel. It's a 2009 film directed by Gareth Karavik.
That was the last movie he directed.
I looked at his credits and I didn't recognize any of
this was the last movie he directed.
Oh, this was the last one. Okay.
He was smart and he got out of the game.
Chris he said, I perfected filmmaking and I will now quit. Chris O'Dowd is the star. Mark Wooten, Darren Lennox Kelly, and Anna Faris round out the cast.
You love your Anna Faris.
I do love Anna Faris. Yeah. I thought she was great in this, actually. Mm-hmm. So I had never heard of this movie. This is a co-production between HBO and BBC.
Yes.
It's a British cast, except for Anna Faris and a couple others, I guess, but a mainly British cast.
Right.
I didn't know anything. I had never heard of it, know anything about it. So I did my best. I relish a rare opportunity to see a movie.
It is rare.
Nothing about
it's
it.
It's rare.
Like, I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I think maybe when I was calling it up on HBO Go, I got a glimpse, unfortunately, of the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yes. Oh, no.
Because it happened to be there. Rotten Tomatoes score, 40%.
Yeah.
But.
Seems about right.
Let me say this. Blessing in disguise. Because if I
had
not had 40% in my mind going into it, I may have been royally disappointed.
Right.
As it was, I might have been, I think I was pleasantly
surprised.
You know how I think I was
that
actually kind of pleasantly
that's
surprised.
That's a 7.1 on IMDb.
I was I don't pay attention to that.
Why,
I was anticipating,
why would you not pay attention to the foremost credited website in as it pertains to movies in the world?
Well,
why
are,
would you
those
not?
Are, those aren't critics, those are users.
And I really don't like their scaling
Tony
system.
Tony from Nebraska.
Because they're almost all in between 6 and 7.
Yeah, I know, they're exactly.
It's,
all kind
it's not very accurate, yeah.
That said, I'm glad I saw 40% because it lowered my expectations,
you know,
and I think I kind of enjoyed
let
it.
Let me say this. You know how I always say that I want the show to be a service?
Right.
We can do a whole new show starting now. Like every movie we talk about, we just like, The Revenant, what a horrible piece of shit that was, huh?
Okay. Well,
terrible.
What's the service?
And people go see it and they're like, oh my God,
like,
not
oh,
bad.
Like, you know what? Those guys totally
I was
undersold it.
Anticipating a horrible movie,
okay.
Like they said.
Okay.
No, we shouldn't do that.
Probably shouldn't do that.
Frequently asked questions. Here's the only note that I wrote down, Logan. That
well,
is
this is scant 83 minutes, so you didn't have a lot of time.
Here's my only note. The actual title is longer in my phone than the note. Frequently asked questions about time traveler. Is it time traveling? Time travel. Terrible opening titles.
Oh, I wrote. I thought it was a mislead, though, because you thought it was going to be some sci-fi, like, you know, more of a space adventure movie.
It's based off of the Superman title.
Yes.
The very iconic
very
Superman,
corny, yeah, cheesy, hackney.
80s.
80s stuff. Pleasantly surprised. Chris O'Dowd can carry his weight in almost any movie. He's
right.
He's beautiful on screen.
Yep.
I love that man.
He's a likable guy.
This is one of those little found gems that, you know, I think a lot, I think it would find an audience, and I think the audience that would find this and love it will love it. In fact, I found message boards and whatnot, people just lauding this movie and coming together and high-fiving each other digitally in regards to how much they all love this movie.
I can see it finding an audience like that. Like if you stumble across it, you think you found something real special.
Yeah, and like about halfway through, I was like, you know what? If I found this, I would probably talk about it with Glee on the Film Vault and say you should check it out. By the time it was all said and done, I was like, you know what? I probably wouldn't talk about this movie. I'd find something else to talk about on the Film Vault. That being said, I still think that obviously Logan likes it.
Right.
I thought it was good.
Good enough to assign.
You know, it's going to be very tough for me to find a movie that you guys are both going to really, really love.
Right.
I'm more of a TV guy than a movie guy these days. So when I come across a movie on HBO, it's kind of an opportunity because I know you guys don't watch every movie that's on TV.
I do.
This movie felt very, very cheap. And here's my problem with
it. I wrote down... Sorry, low budget, fewer than half a dozen shooting sets. There were probably five shooting locations.
Apparently, it's the same bar as Shaun of the Dead. They shot at the same bar. So here's the deal. Here's the story. It's just about time travel, essentially. And he runs into, Chris O'Dowd's character runs into, in the bar, he runs into Anna Faris's character early in the movie. And she's like, I'm from the future and you're famous and I love you.
Right.
And then it turns out that there's some kind of space, time leak in the men's room.
The men's room, yeah.
And
which is clever.
It's clever, and all the things that happen that are possible with time travel movies and time travel concept, they hit on a lot of them.
It touches on a lot.
Yeah, there's different, you know, string theory, and there's different continuums, and they're running into themselves and trying to avoid themselves, and their alternate futures, all that. They have a lot of fun with it, and much like Primer. You can make a really interesting time travel movie with very little money.
Yes, of course.
Here's where I fell off the turnip truck, and no longer is that even a term? I just made that up. Here's where I abandoned the movie and became angry. Mm. Let's say that the director here, I'm not going to say his name because you know, he hasn't made anything since 2009. He's really good at watercolors. All right. He's pretty good. I mean, for what he had to work with, he was making a pretty decent movie. The CGI that they threw in there, unless it was meant for comic effect and it didn't hit me the right way, it's like he was trying to paint with oil and he doesn't know how to paint with oil.
Yeah.
The horrible time gate thing that comes towards the end.
At the very end. Well,
so distractingly
bad. By that point, it was almost like, you know, the sort of silly ending. I kind of gave it a pass.
Did you guys stick around for the post-credit scene?
I watched all the way through, yeah.
Did I?
No. They set it up, not for really a sequel, but to continue the story with parallel universes. Mm-hmm. Like they have to go and essentially kill off some other people in another parallel universe, and then that's where they end it.
Okay.
The very, very end, like another, there's two of the one guy standing next to each other because they've obviously come to terms with there's going to be two of them now. Chris O'Dowd's there, and then their friend, they're watching their friend run, and whatever. Who do we assign, who do we recommend this to?
I wrote down, this is a textbook 3-star movie for me. Like, it's enjoyable and 3 out of 5. Like, it's good enough. I certainly would not call it a bad movie. It's enjoyable. I'm glad I saw it.
Like, if Edgar Wright had done this, it would have been very good.
Feels like a little toothless Edgar Wright.
Yeah, I would say that. If you like Edgar Wright movies, but you're not going to get an Edgar Wright movie with this one, but
It'll scratch some of that itch for you.
Yeah. And there's
pub comedy.
There's just enough interesting ideas to keep it afloat. Like the movie doesn't really lose momentum because it's 83 minutes and it kind of just is what it is. It's almost like a series of misadventures, but it's there's enough good things going on.
At one point in the storylines, it's made. Oh, and I hated that future editor woman. She was awful.
No, she wasn't that bad.
She killed it for me, Brian.
She wasn't that
terrible.
Bad. No.
But that
she killed it for me.
I hated it.
She had probably 8 lines.
She was like a bad ABC TV character. You know what I mean? Like a primetime character.
Yeah.
From the 80s.
She reminded me of Kristen Ritter.
She did kind of look like Kristen Ritter.
She did look like Kristen Ritter. Yeah. I thought it was her, honestly, because it was 2009. Like, is that a young-ish Kristen Ritter?
Mm-hmm.
Like a plastic version of Kristen
Ritter. Like a molded version. Constructed from clay.
Are thought to be famous at some point in the future. Right. And there is an actual reason why, and that is something on the paper that was written in that pub. And
no, I didn't miss anything. That's a MacGuffin, right? Like they never revealed anything.
They
about
never
the
reveal it.
Okay,
good. I fucking
that was
hate
a red
that.
Herring.
It's lazy. It's like going back to Pulp Fiction where he opens the briefcase and the gold. They even use the gold light coming off of the paper. It's like just come up with something kind of clever and let us see it.
Okay,
it's frustrating.
It's fair. It's a fair criticism. I didn't mind the choice they made, but we're spending a lot of time on a just fine movie.
Yeah, if you have HBO Go and you like Shaun of the Dead types, like you said,
that's how I discovered it. I was browsing HBO Go, found it, was pleasantly surprised,
and I'm glad that we were forced to watch. Otherwise, I would have never seen it. And I love Chris Dowd.
Dowd. Yeah, he's good.
I'm gonna call him Chris Dowd.
You should.
Yeah,
Chris O. Dot Dowd.
Dowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Christopher. All right. Anything else?
That's it.
What's your next movie?
Why don't you go? Because I got a good one.
All right. I got a good one, but maybe not quite as good as people say. You reflect. I should have looked on the site. I didn't see. You flick fast Beasts of No Nation, right?
Yes.
Beasts of No Nation
is
streaming now. It is a tough watch.
Tough watch.
Released last year, directed by Cary Fukunaga and written by Cary Fukunaga. It came up last week, Sin Nombre, Cary's work, and I was like, you know what? This fucking movie, it was supposedly the biggest snub of Oscar season when Idris Elba didn't get nominated.
Idris should have been up for something, possibly. Mm-hmm. But you can't release a movie on Fuckflix the same day that you have it in theaters and think it's going to get the same kind of pull.
They said the same thing about the Emmys. Now,
what Emmys?
Netflix wins most of the Emmys.
Oh, do they?
Pretty much. They're contending with HBO.
Oh, well, I can see that. Yeah.
What you already said? What are you saying though?
Was Idris Elba up?
You can't consider this movie because it was on Netflix.
It was on
the
Netflix
Oscars,
the same day that it came out in theaters.
But they said the same thing about the Emmys. Like you couldn't consider Netflix shows because it's an internet show.
Right.
Kind of limbo.
Now look at the Emmys. Like the Emmys.
I see what you're saying. So this is sort of a harbinger of things to come.
I think so. I think next year.
Yeah, you're right.
If they continue this, it'll be if they do a good movie, they might.
I can totally see it.
I would think a lot of people in the Academy just didn't see this one though. I would think it didn't come across their
I think this is what Logan was saying, which is they may have disregarded it, like that thing came on Netflix, Netflix movie,
or because it's a movie about black people, they didn't want to consider.
That's probably most of it, because it's old white racist people in the Academy, all of them old white and racist.
Idris Elba, Idris,
not true.
Idris.
I'm kidding.
Idris.
I always say Idris.
Idris, Golden Globe nominee for Best Supporting Actor for
String
this,
a Bell from
for
the
this,
Wire
movie. Supposedly Fukunaga worked on the story for 7 years and then came across the novel Beast of No Nation. He adapted it into this. Netflix bought the rights for $12 million. Yes, simultaneous release. So I think what the big problem was led to four of the largest theater chains, like AMC and Pacific Theaters, like the big chains, say basically we're not running this movie.
Fuck you, Netflix.
Pretty much. All right. It was actually quite hard. So this is about
A boy soldier.
It is about child. He is a child soldier, and is about the revolutionaries and the rebels in Africa.
The commandant
and the commandant.
Commandant. Commandant.
Yep, it's an unnamed African country. It is actually quite hard to understand them. I actually turned on the subtitles.
That'll help. Through. Yeah,
it really helped. I recommend actually turning the subtitles on, because even though it's in English, quote unquote, it is a dialect that is very thick. And very difficult to understand. It's also kind of mumbly a little bit. I was the sound mixing was. I don't know if you remember this or not, but I had a real hard time picking up the dialogue.
Could be your system.
My system's tuned in. Mm-hmm. Sad to think that Idris Elba is going to sit home and watch Stallone win an Oscar. Sylvester fucking Stallone for Rocky.
Save for locks.
For a lifetime of beating up on black people.
I heard some off the air stories, unofficial stories from Rob Schneider of all people about Sylvester Stallone on set.
Has he ever been on set with Stallone?
Yes, a couple times, evidently.
Oh. What happened?
I mean, Rocky. That was uttered.
Really?
Unofficial. Oh. Didn't say.
So, as you can imagine, this is a movie about war.
You know who I am?
More rebel.
I wrote Rocky.
I wrote Rocky. Yeah, that's not really much of a.
I'm not trying because I hate that.
Okay, good. There's a lot of battle sequences where it's hard to tell who's who.
It's actually not bad.
Good.
Anyway, this is a 91% movie on Rotten Tomatoes that I don't think is quite that good. I think
the story was lacking for sure.
The story was very much
lacking. It was definitely
a
walk in a mile.
It was a
2-hour
and 15-minute movie.
It's like City of God, but not nearly as compelling.
Yeah, it dragged a little bit.
But there is that, you know, Fukunaga is kind of known for his long takes, and I keep going back to it. I'm always going to until something beats it. But Episode 4, Season 1, True Detective, one of the greatest long takes you'll ever.
There are some great long takes, especially at the end.
There is one long take in this that it was more of a trick, like kind of like a wink and a nod to the audience who's expecting it, like me and others. But like it's all taking place in that one. There's women being raped and shot and killed. Horrible things happening inside the structure, right? But it's all like tightly and confined. And then it pans over to his view of what's going on outside, and there's this massive set with all this crazy shit going on outside, and you realize just how much went into making that one shot work, and that was super impressive.
There were
for me, that
shots
was the takeaway
like
for this whole movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There are some great long takes. Made me think of a future top five hallucinations.
Not bad.
That could be drug. That could be drink. I mean, you know, when you drink and you see things, hallucinations.
Not terrible.
Insane hallucinations.
Not awful.
Write that down. Logan.
What about scenes that take place in the car?
That's very broad.
I like it. There's some great shit that
there's some great shit,
and it's not always chase scenes or crashes. You know, there's just some great shit that takes place.
That's true.
When people are cruising around,
it had very little crossover. I'm imagining.
You think people are gonna give a shit for that one?
Yes.
I got shit about tattoos last week from people.
Why? No, really?
Not before it came out.
Oh.
I didn't get anything after it came out.
Tattoos are good.
Oh, like I said, but did you guys get my... You never even responded to my email.
To what?
Sorry, we're off-roading here for a moment. So I was getting some backlash about the tattoos.
Is this one saved as a draft that you didn't actually send us?
Perhaps. A listener, I'm not a listener, a friend of mine, Burke Thomas, he did some of the scores for... I had a couple different composers working on my shorts. And
okay.
Burke Thomas, a friend of mine. Not Rick Urban, but Burke Thomas. Just wanted to make sure that Rick heard his name as well. He sent me an email saying, you guys should do top five scenes with Brad Pitt eating food.
But I think you told us that. You didn't email it to us.
I emailed. I don't think that'd be fun.
I remember you saying that, but I think that'd be fun.
We should do just a crazy fucking far out there one.
That would
be fun.
You verbally told that to me. I think it might have been Logan might have been out of the room or something. But no, you.
Oh, and we should eat throughout the whole episode.
We can get all those comments from the listeners, like scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. But well, we really will be. But no, it'll be fun.
I like your idea. I like your slash his idea of doing a very specific.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Because you know what? We're going to talk about some
Tom
fun scenes.
Tom Cruise running scenes, running away from bad guy scenes.
Not bad. He runs away in the firm.
He does. He does run in a lot of movies. It's like a meme. Anyway, I like that idea. I like doing a super specific one.
You know, April Fool's Day falls on a Friday.
Hey, let's do it. Damn. Now we'll say the show's over on April Fool's.
Let's end the
Just
show.
Just kidding. So yeah, not to belittle Beasts of No Nation. It is really, really heavy subject matter, and it is something that's actually happened in parts of the world with boy soldiers and children, you know, going to war and being sexually abused while doing so. It's a heavy, heavy movie, but I it wasn't the important masterpiece that I think they set out to make.
I agree.
They missed the mark a little bit.
As far as I can tell, Cary Fukunaga's greatest talent is getting... is either one of two things, either getting performances out of non-actors that are amazing or getting actors to be so convincing they appear to be non-actors. Like there's another movie like Sinombre where I was like, oh, these guys are clearly African soldiers. Like there's no way these guys are acting.
Right.
Like, it was pretty convincing at that point.
Obviously available on FuckFlix. So if you haven't done that, it's not up for a single award, is
no,
it?
No, I don't think it'd be a single award.
That's a little bit weird. A lot of years this would have been up for an award, or if it was a traditional film that came out in theaters, I think
That's
it would have been
point,
up for a few awards.
Jesus, bro, for several awards, I imagine.
All right, here we go. I got a controversial pick as well, Brian. Not a pick, but a movie that I saw since I saw you last for Flick Fashion here.
Deadpool, I saw it again.
Controversial pick, non-actors used as well. Talking about Mustang. Mustang up for best foreign language film this year. It's going to lose to a movie called Son of Saul, but Mustang.
Have you seen Son of Saul?
Oh, no. Okay. Directed by a woman named Denise. I'm going to butcher her name here. Denise Skumze Ergüven.
Yeah, you got it right.
This is a Turkish film made with a Turkish cast for the most part, Turkish crew, and it is a French submission.
Okay.
Submitted by France because it was produced by French, and the Turkish Oscar, the Turkish Film Commission had no interest
the
in
film
putting
ministry or something.
This submitting this film as their official pick because they do not like how Turkey is portrayed, and I don't blame them because what they do here in Mustang is they really examine Turkish patriarchy, in which still goes on in small amounts in different parts of the world, in Islamic parts of the world, where you marry off your young teen daughters.
Oh, yeah, arranged marriage and things like that. Okay.
So that's what this movie is all about. They call it Mustang. You're wondering why they call
it
Mustang.
Like a less funny Meet the Patels.
Very less funny. Far less funny. But holy shit, Brian, I'm on the edge of my seat. This movie fucking moved me. This movie grabbed me by the throat and kept me completely enthralled through the entire movie. Five teen girls are all sisters. You learn early on that they're being raised by their uncle and like maybe grandmother. They lost their parents. We're not exactly sure how. They don't spoon feed you all the information. You kind of figure it out as you go. And you're wondering, at least I'm wondering, why are they calling this thing Mustang? And then you learn soon on, of the five daughters, the youngest daughter is a little badass. Oh. And she is not down with the way things are going on.
Is
this
French and Turkish?
Yes, but it's all Turkish. You wouldn't know if France had anything to do with it.
Financed or something.
And you know, and last year, 2015 it's probably going to be remembered as the year of the strong feminine movie. I mean, there is from Mad Max to there is just so many
Carol
movies
and Brooklyn
that were.
I mean, not strong, but you know, were female leads.
Even 45 Years, which I'm going to talk about briefly here in a minute. Oh, I fucking hate that movie so much.
Oh, no, good thing I didn't see it.
But Mustang, this. I think out-feminizes all of those movies combined. Now, I was reading, I got lost on some message boards a couple days ago on IMDb, and there are a lot of Turkish people, Turkish women in particular, who say that this movie is horseshit and it's bullshit and it's not accurate and it's not doing a service to Turkey and Westerners just love it because it's anti-Islamic. I don't agree with that at all. I think these little girls that were in this movie were fantastic. The story... Obviously, it is happening in some parts of the world, and the reaction and how each of these five daughters processes and deals with the system that they got in place over there is fascinating. It's a story where, like I said, you're on the edge of your seat for parts of it, like, holy shit, and you're rooting for these girls. And four of them were actually non-actors. You know, obviously, there's a language barrier there. I was reading subtitles, but never once did I think that anything was stiff or unnatural. And That little girl, I mean, she'll stick with you forever, much like Hush Puppy did a few years ago in Beast of the Southern Wild. Yeah. Very, very different. She is, but also
Convenjene Wallace.
Convenjene. This is also being called the Turkish Virgin Suicides, which I was not a massive fan of that Sofia Coppola film a few years ago, many years ago now. But I am a big fan of Mustang. When we're doing the Vaulties next week, this one might be nipping at the heels of my 6 to 10. It's fucking great. Okay. It's a really well-made movie.
Where'd you see this?
Art House Theater, Lemley down the street.
So it's in theaters still, is my point.
Yeah, it's still in theaters. Okay. I was going to hold off on this one and wait until it becomes available. But guys, and obviously girls, keep this one in mind. Mustang is a must-see as far as I'm concerned. This is a strong, well-made movie. And I learned this afterwards. Denise, the woman who I butchered her name earlier, she
got it right.
Was about to go into production on the film, and she's like, "Oh shit, period's not here. What's going on with that? I'm preggies." So she talked to her producers, and she's like, "Hey guys, I'm pregnant. You guys cool?" They all backed out. They're like, "No, we're not gonna fucking have a pregnant director for the next 9 months. The movie's over." Yeah. She went out and found new financiers, new producers,
produced
the
movie, pregnant?
And directed the whole thing while pregnant. She was like almost term. By the time she was done,
impressive.
That's impressive shit.
Yeah, she wanted to get it done.
And this woman made a very, very strong, strong picture. I love Mustang. Mustang.
Nice. Excellent.
Are you done?
No.
What do you got?
Time for a little Better with Bean.
Wait, let me tell you real quick. 45 years.
Okay. How's this Better
not
with Bean?
Not for our people. Not for us.
Oh, really?
All right.
So now I'm ready for Best Actress?
If you're a completist like me and you have any interest, she is great. She's fantastic. However, this movie, not since a more have I been so upset and annoyed with the movie.
Why?
Here's the movie. It's about a couple who's about to celebrate their 45-year anniversary on Saturday.
You might be the only person I know who's seen this.
They're about to have their 45 anniversary, a big party on Saturday. Right. Unfortunately, the movie starts like, I think it's Sunday or Monday. So we get to be with this fucking couple Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I couldn't wait for the days to. It felt like it should be called 46 years. That's what it felt like.
Right.
Felt like 40. So we find out, we learn along the way that she doesn't really know her husband quite the way that she thought. He has secrets. So they're old as fuck.
It's a coming of age story.
And there's no resolve. There's nothing. I'm giving away the end. Yeah, she's enjoying her little celebration, their 45-year anniversary celebration, her and her husband. And the last thing you see is she pulls her hand away from him while they're dancing because she's hurt and she realizes she doesn't know this man. Wow. It's the most depressing depiction of marriage and love. Oh, it's fucking awful and it's slow as shit. So goddamn ups. I really wish it was not up for an award because I wasted. Oh man, I was. You'd leave just feeling horrible and empty.
Do you recommend it?
You should also go see it. Charlotte Rampling, 45 so years. She was so fantastic. Dumb. It's her story. But it's not a story that any of us should have to suffer for.
Okay.
I don't understand. You come up with an idea like, hey, what if a couple was together for 45 years? And then you find out that her husband, actually the woman that he was seeing before her, died. And he's still in love with her. Well, would that be a fun story to tell? Let's tell that fucking story.
And meanwhile, Deadpool took 5 years to get made.
Fuck Deadpool, too. Oh, and still getting a lot of heat for not liking Deadpool. I finally put my finger on it.
What's that?
All right. He's a misanthrope, right?
Yeah,
he hates the world. He hates life. He doesn't really have much to live.
Like you.
Yeah. Way too gleeful. Way too gleeful. If his mood was more downtrodden.
Right.
If his mood was more
sullen.
Like. Yeah. If he was more sullen and kind of like, fuck the world and it's me against the world, I would have bought it. He was too like, look at me. Aren't I funny? I hate everything and it's clear to myself and I don't care, but look at me.
Get that drop.
You know what I mean?
I do.
That was my problem. I did not believe his tone.
Okay.
That was my issue with Deadpool. Let's move on.
See it again.
I will not.
Real quick, if you're not familiar with Better with Bean, we take the best movies of the year.
Oh, Christ, he's all self-conscious now, Logan.
We take the best
movies
of the year.
He can't do cameras. He can't do clips.
And we insert.
Oh, I know where you're going with Room.
Anderson, grow up.
Ooh, 45 years would be a good one for you.
I haven't seen 45 years. But for example, we take Michael Biehn, the great actor Michael Biehn. We put him into the movies and we make them better. We make them better with Biehn. Mm. For example, if we put him in What Happened, Miss Simone? What Happened, Mr. Biehn?
Did you see it?
I did.
You saw that.
We'll talk about him next week.
Mm-hmm.
What Happened, Mr. Biehn? We examined his career.
He was raped exploited.
Come on. We talked to people who knew him and knew his career and we examined what happened. Or, for example, the aforementioned Room.
Yes.
Now, this is still a story about
he can't contain himself, especially when the camera's on. That really ruins him.
this is still a story about a Turn the camera off.
He can't do it. He can't perform with the camera. You'd be the worst porn star ever.
This is a...
Bishop's flaccid again. His penis is giggling.
Call the fluffer. This is still a story about a man keeping someone...
Who would the fluffer be?
Captive in a room.
Would it be Bean?
Keeping someone captive in a locked room is...
We all know Room, Brian. It's a big movie. It's a hit. It's up for awards. Yes, him and you, perhaps, in Room.
All right, so that's Room. That's how Room would be better with Bean. Spotlight. Spotlight's a really good movie.
Oh, no, Brian.
Not much has changed about the facts of the case, but this version has a happy ending.
Yes. How happy is the ending?
Michael Bean plays a kindly old priest who's been reassigned, and I play his long...
You play his what?
His longtime altar boy. It's more of a buddy comedy.
It's a buddy comedy?
Yeah. I mean, the events are the same, but it's treated in a different way.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else you got there, bud?
Or finally, the big movie of the year, probably going to win Best Picture. Mm. The Revenant.
Is Bane a beer? A bear? Come on. Bane a bear?
All right. Well, there is still a bear rape scene, but...
There's no bear rape in...
Well, there is in this version.
Christ almighty.
Anderson. You've worked on Loveline a long time, so you're probably familiar with the term bear.
Yeah, like the big dudes with the beards.
The term bear in the homosexual community.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still a bear in this movie.
Uh-huh.
There's still a bear rape.
Right? But it's Bean.
But it's Bean.
Bean's got a beard. And he's a little overweight in this one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're Hugh Glass? Is the name Hugh Ass in this?
Come on.
Hugh Jass?
Treat this with the respect it deserves.
Uh-huh. Okay. What else we got? Yeah, I feel like you could have done some other things.
I could have done some more, but yeah, I felt like it was a self-indulgent last year. I may have gone like four or
what
five.
What about the Martian?
Maybe next year you just sprinkle it in throughout the whole episode.
Oh.
So go one for one with every top five items.
What about the Martian?
I thought about the Martian, like, you know, like
you realize you have a stowaway and it's Bean. And then you guys were both
Anderson,
using your each other's poop.
Michael
to,
Bean is a huge star. He would be the star of the film.
Okay.
He would be the Matt Damon character.
You're the stowaway.
But no, on this, well, you know how like...
He's like phoning home. He's like, wait, I got a friend here.
Well, you know how aliens are depicted in movies as like big-headed, bald creatures?
Yeah.
He's not alone on Mars. Mm-hmm. He's not alone.
What about the Big Short?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah. It's all about Bean's penis crisis.
That's don't insult.
The bubble.
Don't insult the
bubble
the man.
Bursts.
Don't insult the man by referring to his penis as short.
Mm-hmm.
The big, bigger, the big Bean.
All right.
Coming up next.
Sophomore. Hey, why is sophomore called sophomore? Why isn't it Froshmork? It should be Froshmork, right? Because freshmen are younger than sophomores. Froshmork. I just invented something.
Maybe sophomores think that they're older. Like they want to be juniors and seniors.
I thought it was like...
Oh, like they're nipping at the heels?
I thought it was a Greek word that like actually has some actual meaning.
Socrates.
Sophratic. Sophratic.
All right. Let's move on.
Coming
to
up next. Oscar locks. The bets we guarantee will come through our picks next. Oh, have you heard the bad news, Anderson? Playboy's not doing nudity anymore.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You heard about that?
Yes.
What are kids supposed to do these days?
Watch porn like
that's
the rest
a good point.
Of us.
I probably go on the internet where there's millions and millions and millions of porn sites. Hey, someone bought the new era no nudity newsstand edition of Playboy magazine, March 2006 cover. Sarah McDaniel. They bought that through our Amazon click through. Apparently, you can buy single issue magazines through the Amazon banner at AndersonBryan.com.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, so it's a historical artifact.
Nice. I actually own a Playboy from way back in the late 60s.
Really?
What the best Kubrick interview I've ever read was from a Playboy.
You really got it because of the interview?
You're the
one guy who reads it for the articles.
Well, Brian, it's the interview, and it's a great fucking interview. They used to do great. They might still.
How long have you had it?
About 5 years, maybe 10.
Oh, I thought maybe you had it since like a teenager.
Pages all stuck together.
No, it's horrible 60s bush porn. Don't like.
Other things purchased through the AndersonAndBryan.com Amazon banner include Oh, Anderson, remember that that the director you mentioned who got pregnant while she was shooting?
Yes,
She's going to have to buy plug covers, those are little things that go inside the outlets. You know what I mean? The things that prevent
Oh, I thought you were talking about like mucus plug covers.
No, she have to plug...
I really did. I was very upset.
No, these are the ones that go to prevent the kids from touching and electrocuting themselves. A LG watch, an LG smartwatch was purchased.
Lucky Gold Star.
That's right. And a Nexus 7 from Google. I got a glare here. A Yamaha stereo receiver was purchased. The Frisky 8-piece bondage restraint set. Frisky. Someone bought that. Frisky. A Fitbit Wi-Fi smart scale.
Hey.
The scale, that makes sense, right? You sit on the scale, it goes right to your Fitbit.
You sit on the scale, you can probably stand on it.
You probably stand on it or balance on it or kneel. I suppose you can kneel on it. That's almost the same effect. A pull-out sofa. That's a combination of a futon and a sofa. Mm. A futon/sofa sleeper couch.
Say that with me a few times.
Futon sofa sleeper couch was purchased. A sleeper couch. When you're walking, where you're like a police going to, you're a detective, you're going to the crime scene, you got to put the thing on your boots, you got to cover them up, you got boot covers on.
No.
Like I put like a little boot like covers on your feet.
What are you talking?
If you're walking through a crime scene, you can't be like.
Walking. Oh, if you're like, I thought you were in the station, like about to like interrogate.
No, if you're walking through a crime scene,
you get the little blue things. Yeah.
Someone got 200 of those.
Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody hates germs.
It's 8 unbreakable wine glasses. It's shatterproof.
I'll put those to the test. Give me one.
An Amazon Fire TV and a Roku 2 were both purchased.
Nice.
TurboTax Premier, federal and state. Someone purchased that. What is this here? A platform bed was purchased. That's the one that's raised off the ground a little bit. A Vizio 2.1 channel soundbar with wireless subwoofer.
Soundbars are all the rage.
People love soundbars.
I love the soundbars. They're great.
Do you have one?
No, I want a surround sound. But I mean, I can see like if I was in a tighter spot, I'd get the old sound bar there.
Puts out a lot of
quality.
Indeed. What is this here? The master training bed? Yes, it's the thing you use for like if you're a fucking MMA guy, you're training. It's the kickboxing training bed thing. A one pair of adjustable dumbbell kits, 200 pounds.
Wow, someone's getting swole.
Someone got a professional like paint and spray station for like stain and paint. A Moen faucet for your tub. Someone got a sump pump. A sump pump to
sump
pump water.
You got to pump the water out of the basement.
Oh, this is a little wagon for a kid. A little red wagon.
Radio flyer?
Easy go wagon. Folding collapsible.
For transporting body parts around the backyard.
Or children. Mm-hmm. Around the neighborhood.
Steve Avery, was he the one who bought it?
I have to look into that.
Stephen Avery?
I have to look into that.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
it has to do with Steve
Catch
Avery.
Catch a murderer. Making a, making,
not Stephen Avery. What's his name? Is it Stephen Avery?
Yeah, but what does the red wagon have to do with that?
Because he's transporting the body parts around the backyard and then burning them.
Okay.
He needs new ways to do it.
Here are the movies and clues. This is the last time I saw you. Bridge O' Spies. As well as Die Hard. Goosebumps, which, god damn it. Logan, you seen that Goosebumps?
Not yet. It's on my queue, though.
Seems like your kind of movie.
I'll probably catch it in the next couple months when it makes its way up my queue.
I feel so out of the loop with the Goosebumps. People talking about Goosebumps, clicking through, buying Goosebumps. I have no idea what's going on with the Goosebumps over there. Little Groundhog Day was clicked through. My wife's least favorite movie, but I like it. Steve Jobs clicked through. Would have been a great play. The movie would have been a great play.
Indeed. It felt like a play.
The Look of Silence. Holy shit, is that a great movie? I was talking about it with my brother just last night, and I got all worked up at dinner. Oh, Look of Silence. Addie's the best.
Solid movie.
The Princess Bride. Why did I say that? HUD. John Wick. M. The Cove. The Graduate. As well as Wild Fucking Tales. Hell to the yes. Good purchase there. Good purchase.
Enjoy your movies, everyone. And thanks for flicking through. And I'm back to the show. Hey, this is Russell Brand. You're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Yep. Welcome back. Anderson is looking to see if Wild Tales was in fact the winner.
No, it lost. Okay. It did not win last year, but God, is the Wild Tales so beautiful.
Very good.
Beautiful movie.
Hey, let's go over some locks, some guarantees. How strong do you feel about your five?
I might be overthinking it this year. Uh-huh. I think I get a little nervous every year calling something locks.
I should look up the odds while we're
But I'm fairly certain, and I wish that I had actually, I did a ton of research, but I wish I did some internal research and figured out just how well my percentage is. I think I usually hit all five.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I think I'm averaging 3.
Well, I know you're bad at it, but I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
Okay.
And do you happen to remember, Logs? I think I hit almost all. We've probably been known as, what, 6 years now?
Feels like it. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to go first? Stop typing.
Sure. I was looking up what won the best foreign language film last year, right?
All right.
Number 5 for me. Like I said, they're all going to be big and they're all going to be sexy. This one's definitely big and it's definitely sexy. Best supporting actress, Brian.
Okay. Ooh, you're going to lock one on this? There's like, this is one of the closest races in history.
Best supporting actress.
Oh, you're going to give a lot. All right, let's hear it.
And here's why. Alicia Vikander.
Right.
She is the front runner.
She is the front runner.
And I am sticking with that.
Okay.
The Danish Girl, which I will go back and I will watch the rest of. It was not doing much for me. It was a typical Tommy Hooper movie. Is that his name?
Tom Hooper.
It had. I think that he might have shot it on the exact same sets as he shot at King's Speech. Very, very similar.
Okay.
But I left right after the first when he first dressed up as Lily and went to the party, and I was right. It was a snooze fest. Not a movie made for me. All right.
Alicia Vikander has a slight lead over in her in terms of odds over Rooney Mara and Kate Winslet.
I gotta say, she was the best part about the movie. She was my favorite thing that I was watching. I liked her more than Eddie Redmayne. Eddie Redmayne was doing this like shy, coy, constantly smiling and giggling and looking away, whether he was as Lily the woman or as Eddie Redmayne the man. I wasn't really loving his character, but she was strong. Alicia Vikander was great in The Danish Girl, and she won at the SAG Awards.
Indeed.
And 80% of those 8 out of the last 10 who win at the SAG Awards for the Best Supporting Actress also win in the Oscars.
Look at you, 80%. With the statistical analysis.
I went through and I counted. You remember how I used to do my football gambling, right?
Needlessly elaborate.
Yeah, I had a system and it worked. I won like 4 out of 5 weeks.
Uh-huh.
But I did a lot of cross-referencing, and okay. I'm doing kind of the same system here. So,
538, the previously mentioned website that I was talking about, does a lot of that. They take like the historical, you know, the PGA always predicts the best picture winner, and the
right.
DGA always, and they kind of you know, do a statistical analysis that way. And they said like, Alicia Vikander will win as well.
When I first heard the National Review, that Secret of Society announced their best film of the year was Mad Max before the Oscar nomination
right.
came out. I was so excited, and I kind of went back and I looked at their track record.
Not good.
And no, it is good.
Oh, it is. Oh,
yeah. Only 2 movies in the last like 25, I think, have been their best movie of the year that didn't get nominations. And a lot of the time they nail it. So that's where I started doing that a few months ago, and
okay.
I did it for the top 5. So number 5 for me, best supporting actress,
nailed it.
In Alicia Vikander, The Danish Girl, and this is tight.
That is bold
saying.
Too.
This is tight.
That's very tight. She is minus. She's the only. She's the favorite. She's minus -225, which means all these bets are based around $100. So you have to bet $225 to win $100.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving money basically.
Right.
You're laying the odds.
Yeah.
The next best is Rooney Mara at plus +325, meaning if you bet $100, you'd win $325.
Rooney
so the
was,
odds are going the other way.
Rooney was great in Carol. Jennifer Jason Leigh, I would love to see
Kate
her
Winslet
win.
Also $325.
She was fantastic. Kate Winslet, I liked her because she was unrecognizable in Steve Jobs. But
totally.
I got to tell you, she's even less recognizable in 999 that comes out this Friday. Holy shit, she plays a badass Russian Jew. She's awesome.
Okay.
Kate Winslet, a rising star in my eyes, even though she's been around for fucking ever. I've never really appreciated her. Lovely Bones, she was pretty great. But holy shit.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet. Anyways, sorry.
That's all right.
Rachel McAdams was awesome in Spotlight, too. Yeah, it's a fuck. This is not a good look. All right, I'm changing. You know
no,
what, guys?
That's a bold lock.
I'm changing.
That's a bold lock.
Original score. Hateful Eight. Easy.
That's pretty funny. It's a layup.
Yeah. Sorry. I should have all mine. Should be layups, right? All right. That's,
well, there are locks after all.
Original score. Hateful
Eight. Hateful Eight is minus -500. That's pretty. It's pretty good.
It was my favorite thing about the whole movie.
Star Wars next at plus +300.
Stop it.
I feel like Star Wars.
So okay. I just switched. I never do that.
Sicario,
but I switched.
Had a great score. Why is it the longest shot of all? 50-1.
Because no one really loved the movie.
Fuck you.
Go.
Number 5 for me. This will be on your list somewhere, I'm sure, so maybe we can talk about it an hour later. But Brie Larson will win Best Actress for Room. She is minus -2,000. That is a huge, huge favorite over Saoirse Ronan at 8-1. Cate Blanchett, 16-1. Jennifer Lawrence, also 16-1. And Charlotte Rampling, pulling up the rear at 40-1. Hey, it's an honor to be nominated.
That's weird. 45 years is a masterpiece and should be seen by
Wouldn't
all.
Wouldn't it be great if she ended up at 45-1?
Then that would not be really that great. Really
pretty funny.
No.
Brie Larson, she's going to win, and deservedly so. She was great. I thought the little kid was robbed as a best supporting
Jacob,
actor.
You know what? Too white.
Too white?
Yeah. If he was a black kid, he would have gotten nominated.
What
wait,
if he was
no.
best supporting actress?
He was great. He was a beautiful young little boy, and I shouldn't have said that. That doesn't sound
right.
Coming
out of my mouth. He was a pure white little boy.
Stop it. Well, no, it's the word that I used. Pristine.
Pristine, that's right.
Christ.
Brie Larson will
win.
I can
never run for office, bro.
Brie Larson will win. This will be her first Oscar, right? She hasn't won. I'm thinking of Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. Brie Larson. She's going to be great. She deserves it.
Well, I'll just say it right here, right now. That was my number 2. So that is a strong, strong lock. Indeed. Well, there's only one lock that I have even more so on my list. So
in
Brie
terms
Larson
of on the actual gambling board, she has the third strongest lock.
Once you give me your number four.
Okay. Hey, sometimes I like to predict things that will happen outside of the actual awards. I nailed. My proudest moment was nailing Billy Crystal doing the fucking terrible, terrible, awful joke. Mm-hmm. Remember the shit pie?
I don't think it ever happened.
Billy Crystal will fucking do a terrible, awful joke. And it happened the first 2 minutes of the show. This year... This is almost too easy. That's why I should have left it off. Chris Rock will make an Oscars so white joke.
Yeah.
He will reference the Oscars being white. I'm even going so far as I'm going to try and nail the joke right here and right now.
Oh, look at this.
He's going to say something along the lines of, hey, I'm Chris Rock, and this is the last time you see a black man on this stage.
I'll be the only black man on the stage.
Yeah, I'll be the only black man on the stage. It'll be the last time I see a black man on the stage. Something along those lines. That will be the joke. It's such a layup. I hate when they go for the easiest joke, but in this case, you can take that to the bank.
I'm going to also predict a joke from Chris Rock in the same vein. I think he's going to talk about how he's fine with black people not being nominated this year because look at the white people that were nominated for the roles that they played. They're horrible white people, raping white priests. And we don't want any of our brothers playing those roles.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I think he's going to make
really? That's your prediction, though, for how the joke's going to
go? A guy getting eaten by a bear? Brothers don't want to do that.
I can see him working it into
Max Fury Road?
Yeah.
Something about black people.
Et cetera, et cetera. Finish the joke.
I'm just trying to think of something that doesn't sound terribly racist about black people not existing in the future.
Mm.
So bleak.
I guess white people finally got what they want.
Yeah.
Is that how it would go?
I think he's going to make some jokes about how it's good that black people aren't. Yeah, I like that joke.
Mm.
Hey, if you guys have not finished your writing, that was on the house.
You're welcome.
On the house.
But by the time I hear this, it'll be Friday at the earliest. Mm-hmm. So they should be finished by now. I'm guessing you might even weave in some election talk, some Donald Trump, you know what I mean? Some
possibly.
This is just like the election or something like that.
Awesome. My number four, Brian.
Okay.
This one, 90% of the people who won the Directors Guild Award have gone on to win the Oscar Award, Brian. Talking about Alejandro.
Wow.
Gonzalez Iñárritu, which I might still be mispronouncing. But if I am, so is everyone else.
You're not going for big favorites. I love this about you, man.
This is a big favorite. 90% have won the Director's Guild.
I'm just taking odds, bro.
He will also be only the second director in Oscar history to win back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
The director of All About Eve was the last one to do that, and his name is eluding me right now.
What fucking idea that is.
But not since the 50s has that happened. And
he's only minus 600 is definitely the favorite, but this isn't like a slam dunk. This is
I'm not looking at odds. I'm not cheating, Brian. You're cheating. It's like you have the answer book. You have the answer book.
This could be wrong.
It's like you have the answer key.
All right.
Also, in tandem with that,
would you like to hear who the next favorite is? George Miller, 5-1.
I hope he wins. I have a wishful list.
And then Adam McKay, 10-1.
Okay. If McKay doesn't win it here, he's never going to win it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. This is as good as it gets.
It's kind of like back when Mickey Rourke was up for...
Wrestler.
The wrestler. It's like...
It's your shot.
He's never going to be back here, guys. I guess he might be, but I doubt it.
Take quite an effort. Right, did you say something else? Did I cut you off?
I was going to say also, I think Revenant for director of photography, cinematography.
Oh, really?
Kinda, they work in tandem. And both did Birdman and...
I think that's not on here, but I think that's the favorite, too.
Chivo?
Oh, The Revenant. Yeah, although the huge favorite, -1500. It's almost twice as much.
For the director of photography.
Yeah,
but see, I didn't do the research and like who won the cinematography awards at the Cinematographers Guild, ACE Awards or whatever.
Mm.
I didn't do that.
Damn it.
All right, go ahead.
Number three for me. We're zipping through this, by the way. I'm sure this is on your list, so this is why we zip through it because there's so much crossover. But Leonardo DiCaprio will win Best Actor for The Revenant. He is a staggering -5,000. Which means if you wanted to win $100, you'd have to put up $5,000.
Jesus.
Like, I mean, if you
not
think
a bad
it's,
bet, though.
Well, if you need a free $100
and
you have $5,000 sitting around,
right.
It's quite a risk. Eddie Redmayne is next at 10-1. Michael Fassbender, 12-1. Matt Damon, only 33-1. I'm surprised by that. Bryan Cranston, 50-1. But Leo will win his first Oscar, -5,000. You take that to the bank.
Emmanuel Lubezki is who I was saying. He's also the cinematographer of Birdman and Gravity, as well as Children of Men, Brian.
Okay,
sounds good. With that beautiful long shot at the end there, and blood gets on the lens.
Oh, that's right.
So beautiful. Yeah, he's been doing some remarkable things with
the
camera.
He did the Birdman, right?
Yes, I just finished saying that literally 30 seconds, maybe 20 seconds ago. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Well, I guess I'll just muscle through. And number three for me, Best Supporting Actor, Brad. Golden Globes predicted
90%
of the time. Golden Globes predict Sylvester Stallone.
Anderson, you are making some bold Creed! Calls, man.
Now, I've heard some people complaining about Creed and how Michael B. Jordan should have been nominated. I like Michael B. Jordan. He's a fine actor.
He was fine.
I did not like him in Creed. He was too sour. He was too much of a sourpuss. And I had a hard time rooting for the fucking guy. You know, Sylvester Stallone. It was great seeing White or not. It was great seeing Rocky again. So it's more for the character and a makeup call for not giving it to him back in the day. And it was really nice seeing Sylvester Stallone and being a humble character. I mean, how long has it been since we've seen Sylvester Stallone play any character with any semblance of humility? Yeah. It was a fantastic performance. I thought he was great. I know you said you didn't think he deserved all the admiration. I do.
It was good.
He was the best part of a pretty good movie in Creed. And by far my favorite part of the entire movie was his performance and seeing Rocky again.
This is your number three lock.
Number three.
He
won the Golden Globes. They predict 90% of the time.
It's pretty close between 90. Him and Mark Rylance, but I do believe Sylvester Stallone will win. For the record, I do think he'll win. He is -300, Mark Rylance, +220, so 2.2-1.
I wonder if he's going to thank, I shouldn't say that.
Everyone else is not even in the race. Why is Tom Hardy so long at 10-1?
Because it's his first time to the Christian dance. Bale, and you know what? I love Tom Hardy.
Mark Ruffalo,
33. I do love him. And I did like his performance the second time in The Revenant when I went back and saw it again. But The Revenant. Mm. But, you know, he's been much better. He's been much stronger in other performances.
I agree.
This place is crawling with tree enters.
Coming up next, the conclusion to top five Oscar locks. I'm curious what your number one, number two are. Anderson, you want to be tantalized?
Yes.
Here I go.
Please do.
Hoisin glazed beef miso ramen with gailan and shiitake mushrooms.
Spiced chicken pitas with yogurt sauce and roasted potato wedges.
I love the Greek style, the Mediterranean.
Build these meals.
Yeah.
And you can recreate them after you do them once.
I don't know what hoisin is. I'm excited to find out.
Oh, it's hoisin sauce. I use it all the time. It's stir fry. It's great. It's fantastic.
No kidding.
We're
talking about Blue Apron, everyone.
Blue Apron.
One of our legit favorite sponsors because they deliver consistent quality. And it's almost like getting a free education in a way, free food education, because you're eating and enjoying and also learning about what you get and what you cook. You're like, oh, now I know what hoisin is.
I've been using Blue Apron for a little over a year, and I can now go to the grocery store and kind of recreate those meals just from memory, just from doing it over and over the past few months.
It's like going to cooking school at a fraction of the price, and they supply you with your meals, and it's healthy. Yeah. I mean, and it's not bad healthy. It's like 500 to 700 calories, I think, each meal.
Yep.
And they're filling. It's a great service. I really do love these guys. Like, if these guys stopped advertising, I would actually go bark up their tree and say, hey, why don't you come back?
So check it out. Delicious, high-quality, nutritious meals for you at blueapron.com/TFV. Get two meals free if you go there, blueapron.com/TFV. And
nuts.
As long as we're on the subject, how good were those nuts I gave you?
Nuts. I kept a Ziploc bag of like a trail mix that I made of all the different nuts in my car for the entire week. I just finished them up yesterday, and they were fantastic.
We still have some if you want to take some more, because they're a perfect on-the-road snack.
I'm definitely going to take them and just always have some in my car, because how often are you in your car and you're starving? And
Quite often.
Yeah.
That's where I'm most often starving is in the car.
Nuts.com. They got a huge variety, too.
And we teased it last week, like, oh, the delivery's here. This is not an exaggeration. In the time between recording last week and recording this week, I reordered from nuts.com. I got Christy some more granola. She loved her granola so much. Not just nuts, guys. It's everything. They have coffee. They have coffee pods. If you like the Keurig pods or whatever, they have that. They have everything under the sun and more.
Right now, new customers can get 4 free samples. Choose from. They got over 50 options.
It's a lot. It's amazing.
That's a $15 value. When you go to nuts.com, click on the mic and enter our code TFV. As always,
that's TFE at nuts.com.
Uber.
Finally, Uber.
Uber. We all have those times, Brian, you know, when we need a little extra cash.
I was going to say, there's nothing better than turning your free time, free, the time that you're not doing anything or making any money, you're just wasting time.
So Logan and I, actually, this is a true story. Logan can comply.
Who's Logan?
Logan, he's right here.
Okay.
The producer of the program. We were actually fantasizing about driving with Uber.
Really?
Just throwing on your phone and saying, hey, you know what? I feel like working for a few hours. Drive with Uber, bang, on.
Yeah. A couple hours on, a couple hours off. Whenever you got a block of time and you're like, I'd actually like to turn this into a money-making opportunity.
Work for yourself.
Yeah, work with Uber.
Start enjoying the flexibility of working when you want to earn extra money on your schedule. Sign up and drive with Uber today.
Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Drive with
UBER.com.
Yeah. Welcome back to the conclusion. If you're looking to place, how many people think listening are in like an office pool or something like that? You know, like
I would think of our listeners, like 80%.
Yeah, I would imagine you're in some sort with their friends or with their office mates.
I'm in one with you.
That's right. We're in one. This is an office pool. This is
should Logan also submit? The three of us?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I gotta remain impartial.
Yeah, he's the referee.
All right.
Well, how are you watching the Oscars this year, Anderson?
On my couch with the TV.
Alone?
Oh, the wife.
Okay.
It's my first time in a couple of years where I'm not actually working. I get to sit and enjoy it. It'll be nice.
You want to come over to Anderson's house?
Stop it. It's embarrassing when you invite yourself places and other people places.
I just invited him over to your house because he's your friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not going to fly.
Do you not do Oscar parties?
No. Oscar parties. I've been to a couple.
It's pretty bad.
I piss everybody off.
Pretty awful. I've been known to rub people the wrong way at an Oscar party.
You rub people the wrong
but
way.
I know,
period.
But especially at an Oscar party.
I could see that sniffing left and right.
It's the worst.
I co-host on a film podcast.
I think at one point I actually yelled at the top of my lungs at everyone to shut up.
The last one I was
or
at.
Or was it pipe down or something?
Was I at that? No, I was at my house when Harvey Milk won. And I ran outside and
Harvey
screamed.
Milk.
Screamed, the gays have won! This year, no gays will be winning. Because he's not gay, though. He's not gay.
Leo?
Eddie Redmayne.
Leo DiCaprio?
I mean, the character in
the
Danish girl. He just likes to dress up like a lady.
Leo from The Revenant had sex with a bear.
Brian, stop perpetuating that story. And it was a female bear. All right. She was protecting her cubs.
Number two
for you.
For me?
For you.
You want to go last?
I already did number two.
You did?
Yeah, it was Brie Larson.
Okay, my number two then. Number two.
She won the Golden Globe and the SAG, and it's almost a surefire bet that she's going to win the Oscar as well.
I think we talked about she was minus 2,000 as a huge, huge favorite.
Brie Larson, and she was fantastic. And when you look at who she's up against, also really great performances, but I would say that she's deserved. I think she had the heaviest lifting.
Okay.
Cate Blanchett had some pretty heavy lifting with Carol, but Brie Larson, I mean, she was left with her and a non-actor for the most part,
right.
5-year-old boy. Actually, he was 9 when he made the movie.
Okay,
he was 9 years old. Jacob Tremblay, but yeah, a child in a room, and you know, if she's anything's off about her performance, it's going to be amplified.
Yep, just her and him in a rug.
She nailed it. That's a large part due to Lenny Abramson, who made a little movie called Frank, which I go on and on about.
Sure, you do.
Lenny.
He wants to.
Lenny's on the scene.
Number two for me.
Lenny's gonna be walking the red carpet.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a couple years ago. Hey, look at Lenny the kid over there making Frank. We love you. And now look at him. Red carpet
walking. He's the big time. Yeah. We're talking to Maria Menounos. You can do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Who's that? I don't care. She's, go. She's a
very well-known
I don't care.
Journalist.
Please go.
Number four. No, excuse me. Number two. Woo! Number two. It happens every year. And I've called it the last however many years we've been doing this. Someone will be snubbed from the In Memoriam section.
Ah, Christ.
It's always
your number
a snub.
One?
No, it's number two.
All right.
It will either be... So. Candidates include Melissa Matheson, writer of E.T., Wes Craven, although I can see Wes Craven getting a little acknowledgement.
He's going to get acknowledged.
Dick Van Patten, Omar Sharif.
Dick died?
Dick Van Patten.
When did Dick die?
Dick died.
Not Dick. I was thinking of Dick Van Dyke.
No, Dick Van Patten.
Oh, Dickie. Yeah, Dickie's actually a friend of the wife's family.
Van Patten or
Van Patten.
Van Dyke?
No, Van Dyke's a dick.
Okay, but he's not the one he's a friend?
Van Dyke, long story short, but I gave him directions once. I had no idea who he was. He was in a brown Corvette, and he asked me how to get somewhere. I'm like, you got to go up here, you turn right, and then you go left. I'm like, actually, you know what, this time of night? And I turn back around, he's already just zipped away. He didn't even say thank you, nothing. And then my girlfriend at the time was in the car. We're at a gas station. She goes, you know who that was? I'm like, a dick. He didn't even say thank you. He just drove away. She's like, that was Dick Van Dyke. I'm like, well, his mom named him properly.
Super Dick Van Dyke. Mm. Omar Sharif died. Rod Taylor, star of The Birds and also in Inglourious Bastards. Mm. And Leonard Nimoy, all candidates. But my best bets to be snubbed this year include Robert Loggia.
Who's that?
Robert Loggia. You know Robert Loggia. Mm. Logan, find a picture of Robert Loggia. He's a character actor who he's been in.
Got a long face. I know.
He was the boss in Big. My God, he's been in 100 movies.
He was in Mulholland Drive.
He's got that gravelly voice.
Yeah, he's great. He's I didn't even know that he died. That's really depressing. I liked him a lot.
Fred Thompson.
He's a scary motherfucker, that guy.
Fred Thompson, former presidential candidate, also an actor. He died, and he was a sort of a staunch Republican, and I can see them sort of giving him the shaft this year, snubbing
him. Well, if he was black, he'd for sure get the shaft.
For true.
Yeah.
Christopher Lee, who missed several online galleries I was looking at for like famous deaths this year. Like a lot of them left off Christopher Lee. Famous movie actor, and Rowdy Piper. I can almost guarantee Rowdy Rod is getting snubbed.
I would think that he won't. I mean, how many movies was he in? Was he in a bunch?
It's a handful.
Yeah, it's, and it's been a long time. I want to think that, like, I think a lot of the time, too, the you know, people that were in the Oscar circles or movie people that have
members
been nominated and
members
that kind of thing.
Academy.
Members, yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe they should just stop doing
They're
that.
Snubbing at least one of those people.
They should stop doing
more
that.
One.
How about they stop?
The memoriam?
Yeah.
Well, that's always that's a highlight. I enjoy watching.
Is it really like you watch the Super Bowl, you don't see them like carting out all the dead fucking pictures of
Junior
past NFL players, right?
You're right.
Do we have to do that?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I think they should stop.
All right, what's your number
That'd
one?
That'd be really weird. Like every time you're watching the Stanley Cup game, we'd like to begin by singing the national anthem of both Canada and the United States, and now let's look at a slideshow of dead people. Dead NHL, former NHL players.
That would be depressing.
Number one, you've already covered it. It is by far and away a lock. And this is kind of a funny story. Number one, best actor, Leonardo DiCaprio. I, on many platforms, this being one of them, was going on and on about how much I love The Revenant, but how I thought it was hilarious that Leo was once again going to get snubbed. I didn't think he was even going to get nominated because I had some issues with his performance. Right. That being said, Brian, now that he has been nominated, and it was a strong female year. I mean, it was a strong showing. A lot of great female performances. When you're looking at the other four that he's going up against, he is a fucking dead lock. I mean, Eddie Redmayne, he just
feels like a coronation.
Bryan Cranston, I felt like he was doing caricature and Trumbo. I did not feel like he should be nominated, period. Michael Fassbender, Steve Jobs.
Ugh.
He did a decent job, but I mean the movie's not good enough to surround him. Matt Damon, The Martian, doing the comedic thing. Yes, he carried the movie, but it wasn't like a tour de force performance. All that being said, DiCaprio, by far and away the best, despite the fact that he didn't limp enough for my taste. And he barely spoke. In fact, there was a really funny picture going around the internet, so I don't know if I sent it to you guys, right before the nominations came out. And it was
You sent that to us with the idea for the top five.
Did I?
Yeah.
What is
Brad Pitt again.
No. What?
No.
Oh, you're being making a little joke. Don't call back. Yes, I see. No, there's a picture of
so
Leo.
Decisive.
It was like a split screen, and it was Leo looking all mangled and torn, and a bear holding an Oscar. Like the bear won the Oscar, and he did it. It was great.
That's pretty good.
I like that. Did you see that SNL bit that came out a couple weeks ago where they were basically, it was the Academy Awards, and they were giving awards to all like the really small white roles, like the guy on the phone.
Who was the host?
I don't remember who the host was.
I need to watch that. I usually watch most SNLs.
That's
good
that.
Shit. I want to see that. It's funny.
Pretty funny.
All that being said, it's very funny. And I just said all that being said four times now, if you count that last one where I just quoted myself.
What did you say?
All that being said, Brian. That's five. Number one for me, the runaway here at the Oscars, the only one that seems like a no-brainer, is Leo for Hugh Glass in The Revenant. Oh, also, 100%. Of those who have won the Best Actor at the SAG Awards over the last 10 years, all 10 have gone on to win the Best Actor
at the
Oscars.
Feels like it's going to be 11 in a row.
100%.
Feels like it's going to be 11.
100%.
I can't believe my number one wasn't on your list. There's one movie, there's one category that is the favorite, is such a heavy favorite. It's minus 10,000. I've never seen that before.
Let the people know. I'm not
if you
on your
win
little
a,
gambling.
If you want to win a free $100, everyone, just put up $10,000 on Inside Out to win Best Animated Feature, and you could win $100. Mm. Hey, bump it up to 20,000, you win $200.
What about Anomalisa?
Anomalisa is 12 to 1.
Critics love them.
They do, but apparently Inside Out is
10,000 to 100?
Yeah.
When there's something else in the category that's 12 to 1?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like good, smart money. No,
fair, does it? Yeah, because that's 1 to 100 versus 12 to 1. Yeah. Shaun the Sheep movie, 20 to 1. Boy and the World, 33 to 1. And when Marnie was there, is it 33 to 1 also?
Mad Max, Fury Road.
Inside Out, 10,000.
For film editing is also a pretty strong pick if you're looking for another pick. Fact, George Miller may still be married, but he was married. It might be wife or ex-wife, the editor of Mad Max.
Right.
A married tandem powerhouse.
That's right. Like Peter Jackson and his wife. Mm-hmm. She's not an editor, but still.
Scorsese, too, was married to his editor for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Might still be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, those are our locks. Did the listeners have a top five?
No, no listeners.
Oh, come on.
Another good one is best adapted. I shouldn't be telling you this. We're going to compete.
I'm done. My list is solid. Okay. It's rock solid.
Who do you have winning best adapted screenplay? My pen. I'll tell you if your picks are good.
Some notes. Who do I have for what?
Best adapted screenplay.
Brian, do you have your picks locked in?
These are going to be my picks.
Adapted screenplay. Let's see.
I just want to see. Fine. I don't know. Yeah,
I got you.
I just want to see Big Short is minus 1,000. Mm-hmm.
Is it really?
It is. That means it's a heavy favorite.
Okay.
Minus 1,000.
Foreign language film?
Best cinema. I'm only going to do the next two. Best cinematography. Who do you have for best cinematography?
The Revenant. I already covered it.
Minus 1,200. Yeah. Best original screenplay.
Yeah. Spotlight.
Yeah, minus 1,200.
Yeah, look at that.
These are huge favorites.
Killing it.
Huge
favorites. Foreign language film, Brian?
Son of Saul. That's actually a pretty big favorite.
I already
said
that.
But I already knew
that. You stole it from me.
No, I
knew
it.
What are you thieving?
I knew it.
Right in front of everyone. The listener can hear you thieving.
I do memorize that.
Production design, Brian.
That's not on here. So a lot of this, I don't
know. You know what's funny is a lot of my picks is like the pen is going back and forth. Mad Max or The Revenant? Mad Max. There's so many similarities, yet they're so starkly different. It's funny. You know what I mean? The Revenant and Mad Max. Definitely, I'm to the point now where I can't think of one without thinking of the other. They're forever married, much like There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men. I mean, No Country for Old Men back in the day.
Really?
Forever married.
Yeah,
in my head.
That's a good point. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
All right. Oh, you know what? And one more little interesting tidbit here.
What's that, buddy?
I felt like acting. Oh. Felt like bad acting.
Good acting.
I didn't like it.
Not Leonardo DiCaprio level acting.
Best original song. That category.
Who's your pick? Well, I should know your pick. You should be telling me this stuff.
No, I'm just, I'm not talking about what my pick is. How many of those movies have you seen?
Oh, let me look at the category.
Yeah.
Best original song.
How many movies have you heard of? How many movies have we talked about?
Well, 50 Shades of Grey, right. Spectre, and I don't know what a lot of these are.
Right? What the fuck is going on with Best Original Song?
What is Racing Extinction?
Exactly.
There's always some fucked up. Remember, there was a scandal a couple years ago.
Yeah, just last year.
Yeah, was it last year?
Yeah.
I remember it was recently. Yeah, the last couple of years. There was a big scandal with the original song. The guy that got nominated wasn't even released in theaters or something. It was like kind of an old boys club kind of thing.
Yeah, and he used to be part of the Academy, and he had a bunch of chums and cronies that were still in the Academy, and he sent out an email saying, "Hey, I made a little movie that no one's heard of. It's about Jesus and loving him, and I made a little song. You might want to get a little vote skis for me over there." And
there was some shadiness.
And they pulled him out, so there's only four that were up when everything was said and done. The Hunting Ground, a documentary, I guess, about homosexuality and being bullied. I think Lady Gaga's song is in there, Till It Happens to You.
What is Youth?
Youth. Simple Song number 3 is up. Brian.
Of course it is.
Bizarre, right? Yeah. I've never seen a category with so many other than the shorts.
Other than,
I've seen all the shorts. I've seen all the shorts.
Well done. Yeah. All right. We're going to gamble. Are we gambling on the Oscars this week?
No, we could.
Did I tell you the shock? One of the front runners actually for the best live action short was actually at the same festival, Holly Shorts.
Did I see it?
As my film festival, as my film.
I was at Holly Shorts.
You weren't. I was there twice.
Oh, okay. So I didn't see it.
The big one, the second time where it was like a full 8 days of shorts, it actually won the full award of the entire all of Holly Shorts that my film was also in. Somehow beat my film. Which is absurd.
This Oscar nominated film somehow beat your film?
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Mine was better.
I like the idea I threw out last week. I think it was off air, but the loser of your Oscar picks has to watch the winner of the Razzies this year.
Okay,
not bad, not bad.
Which could be Pixels, 50 Shades of Grey, Jupiter Ascending, Paul Blart 2, or Fantastic Four.
Have you seen any of those?
I've seen one of those.
I saw Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think it's going to be Jupiter Ascending. I think we're safe with that one.
I kind of hope it's Pixels because I want to see that.
I am kind of curious about Pixels.
I think it's going to be 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. I don't want to see that.
It'll be a bit to like make that one win.
Yeah. All right, what are the movies coming out this week?
Last week you guys gambled on the movie Risen. At the time, there was no Rotten Tomato score. Anderson bid 31, Brian 69.
That's my fucking bet.
Well, currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomato score for Risen is 59%.
Oh, shit, I won!
Making Brian the
winner.
It's so brutal. Hey, this week on Cinema Dicks, we do Standoff, which is a high-concept movie.
I wasn't expecting to win.
Standoff, high-concept movie, Brian.
Okay.
We have Thomas Jane at the top of the stairs, Lawrence Fishburne downstairs. They're having a standoff, and they can't even see each other. They're just fighting back and forth, and there's a little girl involved, and it's actually quite an interesting little high-concept movie that's coming out this week, as well as Triple Nine, the new John Hillcoat movie. Which I found to be very enjoyable. We cover both of those on Cinematics, and you'll be happy to know that High Concept came up on the show.
How wonderful.
And I let my co-host Greg know that he too had been misusing that term for years, and I credited you with straightening me out about that last year.
Who's so, Greg?
You came up, and I called you a dick.
Oh, I'll definitely have to watch listen then.
Yes.
Damn, I wasn't expecting to win. I was forfeiting
It's rare that you don't have a movie ready for me to see. I mean, that's new.
Have you seen Back in Time?
No.
You really are a very poor actor.
I talked about it on this fucking show, bro.
I don't listen to what you say most of the time. What's that?
There's a great 45-minute documentary about Crispin Glover that I've been meaning to watch.
Really?
Yeah, I should watch
You know
that.
It's actually a movie that's been popping up in my queue, and I've been meaning to watch it.
I say great. I haven't even seen it.
You have no idea if it's great or not. There's a documentary that a couple people told me about. It's a Netflix documentary called Trophy Kids.
Yeah, I want to see that, actually.
Okay, see Trophy Kids.
I was actually talking
I'll see it as well, and we'll flick fest it together.
The director about it a couple weeks ago. We had him on Fuckline, and...
Everything's just fucked now.
Chris Bell. Okay. He's the same guy that did Bigger, Stronger, Faster, Funnier, More Steroidy, as right. well as a movie that's come out right now that's in theaters now called Prescription Thugs. Mm. And he made one about intense parents on the sidelines.
Yay.
At their children's sporting event called Trophy Kids, and I'm excited to see it.
It's streaming on Netflix, you guys, if you want to watch it and join the fun next week.
Thanks, buddy. You're making me feel like I'm going to be guilty when I assign you the heinousness that is in my trunk eventually.
You do whatever you want, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear.
Your marriage might be over if your wife walks in at the wrong time when you're watching that movie. You
well,
realize
let's
that.
Let's make sure that doesn't happen.
I can picture it. Oh, honey, Chrissy, you don't understand. He made me watch it. You just hear a car pulling out. Charlie in the car. The dog.
He's howling on the way out.
Yeah. All right, this week you're going to be gambling on Eddie the Eagle.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck to the end.
Anderson, have you seen this?
No.
Anderson.
No, I haven't seen it. I really haven't.
Did Greg see it?
No. We covered, like I said, 999, Standoff, as well as Greg covered A Country Called Home, which I avoided. And then I covered...
Cover your number up. I don't want to
say covered. I didn't write anything. Oh. Then I covered The 7-5, which is a great documentary.
What is it about?
It's about corrupt cops.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Look at the New York. Yeah.
7-5 is fucking tight. You should watch it. Logan, you'd like it too. Chris Dowd. Not O'Dowd. Dowd.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Dowd? Mike Dowd. Mike Dowd is the name of the cop who was dirty as fuck. Eddie the Feagle. Eddie the Feagle matter. Why am I being sophomore?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Cool Runnings.
Where are you gonna, what about it?
That's what this movie is.
It does remind me a lot of a very Disney-fied sports film. I think, is it Disney? It's got to be Disney, right? Yeah.
I said it before, I'll say it again. If Disney sports films were a breed of people, I would be an open bigot.
It's a good thing you're not.
Yeah.
All right, what's your number?
Mary Lemieux.
Oh, damn.
66.
I want 52.
66A.
I feel good about 52.
No, this looks like a sweet, heartfelt movie, and I think they're going to nail it. Christopher Walken is always a critic favorite.
Christopher Walken in this?
Yep.
I didn't realize that.
No, I haven't seen him. Wait, have you seen this, you son of a bitch?
I have not seen it. Mm-hmm. I will see it, and I'll be flick-fasting it next week.
All right, well, currently... The week before its release, with 26 reviews, the Rotten Tomato score for Eddie the Eagle is 77%.
Beautiful.
It's going down. It's going
beautiful.
Way down.
Beautiful. Little Paul Coffey.
It's going way down.
77.
Damn it.
All right.
Oh, thanks you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed, and hopefully.
Money in my pocket.
Hopefully you can take, exactly. Hopefully you can put some money in the bank with these. What's going on with listener art?
Oh, Jesus.
That's pretty good, actually. That's the best Photoshop that's ever been done.
Is that racist, though, because OJ has white face?
Yeah, he also has a fat face. Look at the background.
What's your face?
Look at the background. Look at you.
It's pretty good.
So dumb. Who did that? That was Josh B. Thanks, Josh, for the fan art.
Brian, your marriage is about to crumble.
Go to Anderson and Brian.
66.
Anderson, I've
it's
seen
77.
I've
you did
worse.
52.
Go to AndersonandRyan.com for...
Ryan, who's that? Ryan
Anderson and Brian.com to see the fan art by Josh B.
Pretty good.
If you want the information on future artists, you want to look up the films we discussed, you're like, hey, what was that movie they talked about? Comment on the episodes, please, if you'd like. We'd like to hear what you think. Especially if you don't like Anderson, I don't hear what you think.
Guys, good luck with the Oscar locks, too.
Good luck in your pools.
I envision listeners of this year program getting payouts and, thinking, hey, thank God I listened to the film vault.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank God. Let us know, too. Send us emails and let Logan know, or hit me up over at AndersonCowan.com. Let me know if you guys do well with our picks.
Yeah, send them to us before the Oscars.
I thought my picks were strong locks. Brian's making me feel a little bit...
No. You're picking favorites. I'm surprised you're calling locks.
I'm looking at the trends.
Fortune favors the bold.
You know what? Do the listener a favor one more time and give them the little website that you go over and cheat on.
I'll go to Bovada. It's a very well-known.
Bovado?
Bovada.
Bovada? It sounds like an Italian shoe that a dick would wear.
It's international.
These are Bovada shoes? No, what are you wearing?
It's a very well-known website for gaming enthusiasts.
Okay.
And Union Specific, Mark Dian, Ingratitude, The Urethras, Second Dam, The Winter Sounds are our feature artists of the week. You all right? Going to miss your movie?
I'm not seeing the new Terrence Malick movie, thanks to you and your goddamn lateness.
I was right on time, but minus 5 minutes.
We do it for Van Gogh!